Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your people, and I thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God in this place to help us, to teach us. I pray, Father, that you would give me the right words to say and communicate spiritual truth in a way that your people will be able to receive and retain. And Lord, that we'll all learn and grow together in Jesus' name. Amen. This is going to be leadership lessons from Abel. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first got this, leadership lessons from Abel, I'm like, Abel? Abel never led anybody. But I want you to understand that there are leadership qualities that we see in the man Abel that every leader, every spiritual leader, by the way, when I'm talking about leaders, y'all just always know whether I put spiritual in front of it or not. I'm talking about spiritual leaders, all right? I'm not talking about worldly leaders. That's a whole different animal. When we're talking about leadership, we're talking about spiritual leadership. We're talking about spiritual leaders. But when it comes to being a spiritual leader, Abel possesses three qualities that every spiritual leader absolutely has to have. And you know, when you read the Bible, there's not really an indication that it doesn't tell us much about Abel. And so it doesn't really indicate to us that he was a leader in his day. But I'll tell you one way that I know that he's a leader is because he is the first person mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, what I like to call the Hall of Faith. He is the first person mentioned as a man of faith. And I tell you, in a sense, he was the leader to all those that followed as a man of faith. All those other great men and women of God who are listed there in the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, guess who the first one was? It was the man Abel. He is a model and an example of faith, in a sense, to all that came after him. They followed his example. So we're going to look at his life and the example that he is and the qualities that you see in him. There's so few passages that tell us about him. But by the way, when you get your name mentioned in about four or five places in the Bible, you're doing pretty good, by the way, right? I mean, when the Lord Jesus himself speaks your name and talks about you, you're doing pretty good. But we're going to start in Genesis chapter 4 and read just a little bit about actually Cain and Abel. But these few verses tell us a lot about the kind of man he was. Genesis 4 verses 1 through 8. Now Adam knew his wife Eve, knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Now I want you to know, Abel's life ended short, but he didn't suffer long, and Cain did. But before we talk much about Abel, I want us to understand some things that happened here. Cain's offering was rejected. Now some people start talking about, "Oh well, it must have been because it was a grain offering." Listen, there's nothing wrong with a grain offering. That's very scriptural. And as you read on in the Bible and under the law, a grain offering was commanded in the law. That was bringing the part of the first fruits. If you had grain or you tilled the ground, then you brought the first fruits and you brought of your grain offering to the Lord. That wasn't why it was rejected. You know, people say that, but they're really grasping at straws. There's not really any kind of scriptural indication to give us that at all as to why it was rejected because it was a grain offering. But you'll notice here, you know, we don't really know how they knew. How'd they know that it was rejected? I mean, maybe he just heard God say, hey, get that out of here. I don't know. But there's some kind of obvious sign. It might have been a sign that they saw, you know, right then. Maybe there was a word from the Lord. I don't know. But somehow there was a sign. Or it could have been a sign that just over time, you know, we're not really given a time frame here. It may have been a sign that over time, because God blessed Abel and didn't bless Cain, that he knew that his was rejected. But however it was, they knew, Cain knew, that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and his was rejected. It made him angry. In verse 6, the Lord asked him, why are you angry? You know, isn't it amazing when God asks people questions when he already knows the answer? But he's asking them to make them think. He's asking them to help them get the right answer, to help them deal with the issue. But he asks him, he says, why are you angry? And he says, he tells him, if you do right, you'll be accepted. Listen, Cain knew that he did wrong. God just flat spelled it out for him here. He says, if you do right, you'll be accepted. But if you don't, then sin lies at the door. Now, instead of dealing with it and doing the right thing, Cain kills his brother Abel. So why is Cain's sacrifice rejected and Abel's accepted? I think we're going to see the answer to those questions, or to that question, in as we talk about the leadership qualities in Abel. Here's the first quality of a spiritual leader: is Abel was a man of faith. By the way, I'm not good at this, as you know. So if I leave a blank, Carmen, flag me down. But Abel was a man of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Abel offered his sacrifice in faith. Cain didn't. However Cain brought it, however he offered it, it was not offered in faith. The Bible tells us very specifically that Abel offered a better sacrifice by faith. That was the big difference. His sacrifice was offered by faith. Now, if you go back to Genesis and you read that passage carefully, you'll see that Cain, in the course of time, he brought an offering. But Abel didn't just bring an offering. He brought the first fruits. He brought the firstborn of his flock. In other words, he didn't just bring something. He brought the best. And the reason that's important in regards to faith, listen, it takes no faith to give God your leftovers. Thank you, mother-in-law. Listen, it takes no faith to give God your leftovers. It takes great faith to give God your first fruits, to give God your very best. That takes faith. And Abel had that kind of faith. Now, I want you to understand this. This is very, very important. All spiritual leaders have this quality: faith. They are men and women of faith. You can't lead anybody spiritually if you are not a man or a woman of faith. It's not just a matter of believing in God. It is a matter of living by faith. It is a matter of having a living faith. It is a faith with works. It's a faith that brings action in our life. And you see that in Abel, that because of his faith, he offered a better sacrifice. There was an action with his faith. It was living faith. But it caused him to bring the first fruits and to trust God. You see, his faith was him acknowledging that God was his source, and he trusted God. You know, when we act on our faith, it shows that we trust God. Now listen, that's why it pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because listen, to not have faith is like you're calling God a liar. It is like you are attacking his character. Because what God says that he will do, listen, if, when he is our provider, he is our healer, all of the promises of God, listen, if we believe him, you see, that pleases him, because we trust him. It is as though we confirm and we affirm his character and his person and who he is. But when we don't believe God and we refuse to have faith, it is an attack against his character. It is like an accusation against his character. So without faith, this is what the Bible says. See, you know, and here's the attitude of our society. Well, if you don't believe, you can't help it. Yeah, you can. You hear the word and you believe. You choose to believe. That's the way it's always been. Some believe and some don't believe. But it's not based on feeling. It's a choice that you make. You choose to believe God. But when we choose to believe God, it pleases him. Now, I want you to understand how important that is in leadership. You see, to be a leader in your home, you got to be a man of faith. If you're going to be a leader in your workplace, you got to be a woman of faith. I'm talking about spiritual leadership, right? Let's just go ahead and talk about this a little bit. Listen, in the world's eyes, the leader is the one who's got the most charisma, the good-looking one. You know, the one that's tall and handsome and all that. The one that's got all the personality and the one that's got the talents. How many of you are feeling left out of that right now? I know I am. But I want you to understand that in the kingdom, leadership is totally different. And so often we get confused about that, even in the church. Even in the church, we start thinking that those who, in the eyes of the world, are natural leaders are the leaders in the church. No, 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 I'm telling you. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way it is in the eyes of God. And real spiritual leadership is not based on carnal, worldly things. And here's the first quality that you got to have as a spiritual leader: faith. You got to be a man or woman of faith. Listen, you see this in every man or woman of God in the Scripture. All those people that did great and mighty things, every one of them was a man or woman of faith. There's always the rabble who are always negative, always looking at things as they are, or even making them worse than they are. Now listen to me. If you want to be a spiritual leader, you can't be one of the negative people bringing the bad report and always griping and complaining and always talking all the trash. No, if you're going to be a leader, you got to be the one that has a good report, who says what God says, and who has faith. You see, it needs to be coming out of your mouth. I think it's so interesting in what it says there in Hebrews 11:4 that he still speaks though he's dead. He's dead, but he still speaks. Now that's just kind of strange, isn't it? But the Scripture actually tells us this about Abel, that though he's dead, he still speaks. And I'm telling you that when we have faith, we need to speak. I believe and therefore I speak. So as a spiritual leader, we need to be those who are talking faith. And I'm not talking about just trying to sound spiritual. I'm talking about that we're speaking what the Scripture says, that we're actually believing God, and then we can't just talk the talk, though. We got to walk the walk. In our everyday life, we got to be those who are living by faith. Abel's faith was a faith with works. And I'm telling you, that's what people need to see in leaders. They need to see people who actually believe God's word and stand on it, live by it. So few in our society really living by faith. And when you do, when you step out there in faith, now, what do you think? What do you think about Peter when he gets out of the boat? All those other guys still don't know what it's like to walk on water. Only Peter knows. I'm just telling you, when you step out in faith, when you are living by faith, God uses you as a leader to others. I tell you, so many just walking by sight, just living by natural means. When you as a spiritual leader walk by faith, I'm telling you, people will follow. People will see, and they'll follow your example. And how we need it, leaders who live by faith. But every great man and woman of God was a leader in this way. They all were people of faith. Next, Abel did what was right. How many would-be leaders and even great leaders lose their leadership and their legacy by wrongdoing? We have watched great leaders in our day, their legacy, even their lives, destroyed because of wrongdoing. But I'm telling you right now that this is where a lot of people in spiritual leadership never even get off the ground. You got to do right. Now, it's really interesting. The Bible talks about Cain or Abel and how he did right. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 is an example where it refers to him. It says, Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. So here's what the Scripture tells us about Abel's works. His works were righteous. He did what was right. You know, the Scripture gives us insight about both brothers. One did what was sinful, one did what was right. And you know, here in this example, this story that we're talking about tonight with Cain and Abel, the issue was, well, to put it in modern language, it was money. They were both bringing of their increase and giving it to God. And you know, money just kind of always gets to the heart of the matter, doesn't it? Jesus said, where you're treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we don't like to talk about money sometimes, but it is such a powerful example and something that really deals with the heart. But listen, it can be a real test of where your heart is. In fact, think about this. For many, many leaders, money is the pitfall. For many, many people, money is where integrity problems show up. And I'm just telling you that if we allow ourselves to slide, if we allow ourselves to make compromises, if we allow any lack of integrity or character in our life, it will rob us of leadership. But when we do the right thing, listen to me, that gains you credibility with people, that you did the right thing. And listen, when you do the wrong thing, you lose credibility with people. When you do the wrong thing, you lose credibility. That means that you lose influence. You lose leadership. But when you do the right thing, people see that, you gain credibility. You're gaining leadership with people when you do the right thing. Abel did the right thing. He didn't go for cheap. He didn't bring leftovers, he brought his best. But here's the main thing that we got to remember. He did what was right. If we're going to be leaders in any way, we need to always remember this. We reproduce what we are, not what we say. Mom and dad, it can never be do as I say and not as I do. It just won't work that way. One of the scariest things to me as a pastor, as a minister, we reproduce what we are, not what we say. You got to do right. If you want to influence other people, you want to lead people the right direction, you got to do right. You're waving me down. What is it? I gave that. Okay, y'all. We'll get better at this. I'm out of practice with the note thing. Are y'all? Yeah. Some of you are. Some of you are like, get it together. Oh, maybe I didn't do that. Many who would be leaders, even great leaders, lose their leadership and legacy by wrongdoing. I gave that. Come on, Carmen, keep up. Bob, if I miss something, flag me down. Hey, I am kidding y'all, because I'm telling you, I just couldn't make it without my helpmate. You know, the Lord said it's not good for man to be alone, and he looked at Mark and he said, there ain't no way he can make it alone. So anyway, so all of us face times when it'd be easier to not do the right thing. In fact, sometimes people around you will put pressure on you. You know, teenagers call it peer pressure. But even people around you will put pressure on you to do the wrong thing. And that's the very time that you got to be the leader and do the right thing. Even if they're telling you you're doing the wrong thing, you know what God wants you to do. You do the right thing. By the way, I want to make sure I make this point. When you do the right thing, that doesn't mean you do what seems right to you. Remember, that is what our society says, and it sounds so good. Do what seems right to me. But that is a relative morality that's preached by our society all the time. That you do what seems right to you, and this person does what seems right to them. But I'm telling you that the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, and the end of it is destruction. We do what is right in the eyes of God. And that's what Abel did. You know, maybe in some way Cain justified what he did. In his own mind, maybe it was right to him. I don't know. But I know this, that if as leaders, we don't do just what we think is right. We do what the Bible tells us is right. We do what we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit is right. Not just in the natural mind that we think this or we think that. You start reasoning and you'll end up justifying. And that's what so many people do when they do wrong. They blame, they justify, they rationalize it. We can't do that. And the only way to avoid that is to stick with the Word of God and let God, the Holy Spirit, speak to your heart, and you obey God instead of man. By the way, I think this is really interesting. I mentioned it earlier, Matthew 23:35, Jesus even mentions righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. Abel did what was right. Leaders have to be people of principles and convictions. Leaders have to stand by what they say, even when it costs them. Leaders have to do the right thing, even when other people hate them for it. Surely not. Oh, if you do the right thing, everybody's going to like you. No, there's always going to be a Cain. He hated his brother. He was so jealous of him, he hated him for it. And I'm telling you, there's going to be people that hate you when you do the right thing sometimes. But if you're going to be a leader, a spiritual leader, if I don't use that word, you stick it in there, all right? If you're going to be a leader to anybody, You got to do the right thing. I remember many, many years ago with a youth group, there was a young lady who was just a tremendous leader in the group. Very, very committed, dedicated, spiritual young lady, very anointed of God, used so mightily in many, many ways. And one day I was talking to her about how she was a leader in the group. And she said, "No, I'm not." She said, "This one and this one." And she named a couple of people who, you know, maybe in the eyes of the world, they were people that were real popular at school. And she saw them as leaders, but not herself. And, you know, I just had to try to impress on her is that the kids in the youth group were not looking at those individuals for leadership. They might have looked to them for how to be cool, but they weren't looking at them for how to know God. They weren't looking at them for how to serve God and live for God. They were looking at her. And I'm just telling you, some of you, you think you don't have what it takes. You do the right thing. That's what people need to see. That's what this world needs to see, is people who do the right thing. That makes you a leader. I'm telling you, you have faith and you do the right thing, you're setting yourself up. God's going to use you to lead somebody. He's going to use you to influence other people. Spiritual leaders do the right thing. The third quality we see in Abel is that he honored God. At the beginning of last year, we did a series about honoring God, and it's something that I think is pretty foreign to most of our culture today. You know, it's all about us. But scripturally, it's all about Him and how we need that kind of message to return in the body of Christ, that we honor God in everything we do. And by the way, there's CD series out there. You can get those messages online as well. But Abel honored God. Proverbs 3:9-11, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." Abel honored God, listen, with the first fruits. And we talked about that earlier. I just want to mention it to you again. And you see here the scripture tells us that you honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, that's what happens when you honor God. He blesses. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. And you know, that so reminds me of Cain and how God tried to bring him to repentance, but he despised that correction and instead killed his brother. Listen to this. You will set yourself apart as a leader if you truly honor God in the way you live. It will set you apart as a leader. Abel's sacrifice honored God because it was an act of faith. That's in the notes, Carmen. It was an act of obedience. And it was an act of genuine sacrifice. And what I mean by that, listen, they brought their offerings, they brought their sacrifice to the Lord. But listen, it was genuine sacrifice because he gave God his first. He gave God his best. And that honors the Lord. The real key to honor is giving God your best. Now, let's not think about money right now, all right? I want you to think about your time. I want you to think about your talents, your abilities. Now, you see, we honor God when we give Him our best. Here's how you can honor God. You set aside a time to go to worship every week, no matter what. No matter what. Now, listen, I know we live in a real world, but I'm just telling you, you got to make up your mind. You're going to honor God that way. You honor God with your day because you start your day with the Lord. That honors Him. You give Him the first part of your day. You honor the Lord that way. Now, I want you to get this, though. You see, when you do those things, I'm telling you, it's going to set you up to be honored. It's going to set you apart as a leader. You see, here's the pattern. Well, we sort of do those things, That's where most people are. But then along comes somebody and they are so crazy, they're so committed to God that they do it to their own hurt. That person becomes a leader. I'm just telling you, the fact that they honor God that way, even to the point of it's an act of faith, it's an act of obedience, but it's sacrifice, even to the point of sacrifice, and it sets them apart as a leader. Some people may scoff, but I'm telling you, it'll still set you apart as a leader. To lead others, you have to have a measure of respect and honor. You can't lead those who despise you. To lead others requires some honor from them, for them to be able to follow you. They have to respect you. But here's where this principle comes in. If we honor God, then He honors us. 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, you know, with the King James, the New King James here, it doesn't really do that justice, because when it says they shall be lightly esteemed, it's like, oh, well, I'll get a little bit of esteem. That's not what it means. It means you're going to be despised. It means you are not going to be esteemed at all. And we just need to understand this, that when you honor God, He honors you. And I'm telling you, see, so much of leadership, it's influence. It has to do with credibility. It has to do with people being able to respect you. Listen, people can't, I'm talking about spiritual leadership, right? Not worldly. Worldly leadership is different. People can't follow a spiritual leader that they have no respect for. Now, by the way, I've had people under my ministry that had no respect for me, and they sat under my ministry, but they wasn't following me. They wasn't learning from me. They weren't receiving from me. If you're going to lead anybody, they have to have a certain measure of respect for you. And here, listen to me, God honors those who honor Him. When you honor the Lord, God blesses you back with honor. We honor the Lord in our conversation, the way we talk. Let me just give you, I want to put a little bit of just everyday spin on this, all right? You see, if you use foul language, let's just make it a little closer to home, coarse joking, crude conversation, that doesn't honor God. And it dishonors you. When people take the Lord's name in vain, and I'm not just talking about when they attach it to a curse word. I'm talking about when they use the Lord's name as a filler and a byword. That dishonors God. And I'm telling you, it dishonors you. Now, young ladies, when you dress in a way that dishonors God, it also dishonors you. Young men, when you behave in a way that dishonors God, it also dishonors you. We honor God in the way we do business. And I'm telling you, if you honor God in the way you do business, the way you handle financial affairs, it will bring honor in your life. It will bring respect in your life. It will put you in a place where you can speak into other people's lives, where you can have a real impact in other people's lives. But you honor God in the way you do business. You honor God in the way you treat your family. See, if you treat your family bad, that dishonors the Lord. You know, when a person is a believer, a Christian, they're treating their family real bad. Oh, how that just brings reproach on the Lord. I tell you, we honor God in the way we treat one another, and it honors us. If it dishonors God, it'll dishonor you in the eyes of others. Now, I want to say this real clearly. When we are honored, when God honors us, that translates into leadership. Honor gives you greater influence and a greater platform to influence the lives of others. So honor is important. And who does God honor? Those who honor Him. Now, I just want to close with this two real simple questions, just prayerfully, that we ask ourselves. Do I possess these three qualities? Am I a man or woman of faith? Do I do the right thing? And do I honor God? And just ask yourself also, are there some things I need to change? And I just encourage you. God wants to raise up leaders. And I just believe this is a good starting place with this man Abel, that we learn to be people of faith, that we do the right thing, and we honor God. Well, stand with me and let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. And Lord, I know that in their world, there are people that they can influence. There are people that they can help spiritually. There are people that they can reach out to and minister. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just prepare them. Oh, Father, I pray that you just take this word and prepare us, Lord, to be better leaders. Lord, help us to remember how important these principles are. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will just bring to our remembrance these scriptures. Bring to our remembrance these principles, Lord, that we'll live by them. And Lord, that we'll be different in this world. Lord, we'll just not go with the flow. But we'll be willing to be different so that we can have an impact. We'll be salt and light in a dark place. Use us, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe the Lord is raising up leaders right here, right now, in our midst. Some of you, You hadn't felt that way, but I'm just telling you, you just begin to believe God. You just begin to walk in these principles. God's going to use you to impact the lives of other people. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to dismiss the service this way tonight. If you want prayer, I'm going to stay here at the front for a few minutes, and I'm sure there'll be other prayer partners available as well. And so if you need special prayer or like prayer for any reason, maybe somebody saying, you know what? I want to be used as a leader. Maybe somebody's saying, you know what? I haven't done right in this area. Or I haven't honored God in this area. But whatever it might be, if you need healing in your body, whatever it is, if you want prayer, I'm going to stay here at the front and be glad to pray with you. I love you. Lord bless you.